Well, thank you for that good singing. I'm going to ask Brother Marco to come again and preach to us from God's Word. I've enjoyed his devotion he had there at the fishing derby yesterday and the presentation this morning and the preaching. So come on up, please.
Good morning and good morning again. It's good to be in the Lord's house, isn't it? I sure appreciate it. I like being in church. I have for a long time. One reason is because I may do a lot of things wrong in a given week, but if I'm in church on Sunday, I know I've done one thing right. So praise the Lord for church. I'm so grateful for a church house. I didn't grow up going to a church like this. I went to a church, but they didn't believe right in some things, and so I'm so grateful that God saved me first off, and that God's given me the truth and given me a faithful church that I can be part of, and I'm so grateful for that. This morning I'm going to turn to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. Beginning with verse 23 to 27, Exodus 15, we'll read verses 23 to 27. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Please pray with me. Lord, you're a good God. Your word says it. You've proved it to us because you've saved those of us who've trusted in you. And you lead us and you guide us and you give us provisions daily and yearly. And so because of that, Lord, we know you're good. So I just pray that we'd have tender hearts, that you'd help me to say what needs to be said and just go on by what needs to not be said, and that we'd have ears to hear specifically from you this day, Lord. I pray if there's unconfessed sin or flesh in our hearts now, that you'd bring it to mind, that we could get it right and have a peaceful, good time in your church service this day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So this is, those of you, many of you are probably, or some of you are familiar with this passage of Scripture. So Israel, not too long ago, had left Egypt. They saw the seas part behind them, and they walked through the Red Sea. They were able to see a really mean army of people who wanted to do them bad and kill them, get drowned behind them. They saw some miracles done in Egypt, and that's a little bit of the background of what happened a little earlier in Israel's time, in Moses' time. I want to be mindful. I'm talking about bitter situations we go through. I'm not talking about, I may touch on it, but there are some situations in our life that we will deal with that are not nice to go through, like coming across some bitter water when you're thirsty. Israel had walked for 3 days, 36 miles through a desert, and they were thirsty. And then they got to some bitter water, and it looked like good water until they went to drink it. Now, when the Bible's talking about bitter water there, it's describing water that's poisonous. It's not good to drink. It's not just that it doesn't taste good. It's bad water. It's not something you want to put in you. That was pretty discouraging to them. And we have a tendency like Israel. The Bible tells us that the Old Testament, the things written aforetime were for us, where they're examples for us. We can grow from what they went through. We don't, some of us here have learned some hard lessons in life, but we have the Bible, so we don't have to learn everything the hard way. We have the Scriptures. So we can know that we need to trust God at times, all times. Israel had just went through some time of victory. They'd seen miracles. They'd seen God at work. And it wasn't too long after that that they thought God had brought them into the desert to kill them. That's foolish thinking. You know, sometimes we as Christians, we who've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we don't think right. We may have the right Savior, but sometimes we let the world and the devil afflict our mind, and we don't think right. We start thinking foolishly that we may not understand what God is doing in our lives, but instead of trusting in Him, we think, woe is me. God just brought me here to ruin me. And we can't think like that. That's wrong thinking. One thing I like thinking oftentimes, and I've seen it myself, those of you who watched my presentation, suicide is the highest in the Western Hemisphere in Uruguay. Those people have no hope. We have a hope. We have a sure hope. Brother Vall was saying about hope in the Bible today, and we can trust our Bible, and that's right. We don't have a wishy-washy hope. We don't say like the world, I hope things turn out all right. We know things turn out all right. You know, Brother Vall is doing a great job teaching through Revelation. That proves it. Things are going to turn out all right. Even if we're up in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ will take care of this wicked world one day. And we may be discouraged. We may be discouraged with what we see in politics. I like keeping up with politics, but I think I shouldn't because it's pretty discouraging. And we may be discouraged with what's going on in the world and the people in power, but we're going to have a good leader one day. Yeah, we may be up in glory by that time, but I'm looking forward to that day. We're going to have I don't know if Canada will still exist the way it does, or America. I don't know what the world will look like, but I'm looking forward to that good king. It's good to be a Christian because we look forward to something. The Bible talks more about hell than heaven. It tells us a bit about heaven. And Brother Kuipers was saying a few things about the New Jerusalem. And there's things we can look forward to, but there's a whole lot we don't know. But for the true Christian, we can be homesick for a place we've never been to. And so I'm looking forward one day to be in heaven. Israel needed that kind of hope. They had a promise from God that I'm going to take you somewhere that's good for you. I'm going to lead you in victory. And they got to some bitter water in their lives and thought, this is miserable. This is bad. Why is this happening to us instead of having a right hope in God? We need to have that right hope in God as well, or we'll be no different than they were. Moses' prayer was accompanied by listening and obedience. You see there in the Bible, it says that Moses cried out unto the Lord. Can I tell you what is a good thing to do when you have a bitter situation in your life? You should cry unto the Lord. When you don't know what's going on in your life, when you don't understand why you're having the troubles in relationships, when you don't understand why you're coming around to economic reversals, you can cry unto the Lord. And you know, there's a couple things that'll happen. God will answer your prayers. He does that. And the second thing that'll happen that's just almost as powerful and just as important in the Christian's life is it'll help your mind. Because that was the problem with Israel. They weren't thinking right. And sometimes we as Christians don't think right. We need to think right. So Moses, he prayed, and then he listened and obeyed. We need to do the same. God's word gives us some clear things of what we ought to do for our best. And we ought to be obedient. Sometimes, I don't think, I'm probably like some of you here, maybe. I'm closest to the Lord when God puts me through tough times. And maybe you can testify to that too. And say the toughest times in my life, that's when I looked to God. And you know, God knows that about us. It would be nice if we would just call on the Lord in the good times and the bad times. But I think God knows us well enough that sometimes He could have, you know, God led them to that bitter water. And you can think, why would God do that? You know what? Sometimes He needs to do that. He needed to do it in my life, and He needs to do it in my life, and He needs to do it in your life too. Because there's some stubbornness and some hardness and some bad attitudes that's natural to us, that sometimes He'll say, I know it's exactly best for them. I'm going to take them to the place that'll make them a little more golden. I'm going to take them through something that'll make them a bit pure. I'm going to take them through something that'll make them a bit more tender. I'm sorry. We were talking there at the university. I was talking with a man named Alan, Brother Vall mentioned, and he really opened up to me and told me some of the hard things he had gone through. You know, it's okay for you to go through hard things, because if God takes you and tenderizes you a little bit, you just may be a little bit more tender for the next person. And that's a good thing. I don't have crying in my notes, it's just happening. You know, God knows what's best for you, and that's why we need to have faith that God will take care of us even when we don't understand the hard things that are happening in our lives. And when God brings us through bitter situations, we need to know and say, just like Job, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. We don't understand what's going on. Israel didn't understand why the bitter water, but they could have trusted him, and we ought to trust him too, because he knows best. You know, God's smarter than you are. Yeah, that's pretty simple, isn't it? But I don't always live that way. And we need to trust God that he's smarter than I am. He's smarter than you are. And we need to, when we are living in contrary to this God, to this book, when we're living contrary to God's principles, you can bet we're going to be judged. But there are some things that happen to good people just because they're following God. So if we have sin in our lives, we need to get it right. But sometimes doing the best we can, we go through hard times, and we need to have faith in God, know that he takes care of us, and he loves us, and he wants what's best for us. I know good people, just the golden people that have gone through hard times, and the Lord loves them, and they love the Lord. And God just sometimes picks special people and looks down at them like he looked down in Job, like he looked down at Paul, like the Lord Jesus Christ went through, and said, you know, I love them. And I'm going to give them something special that I can't give them, because I want to do something special with them. And maybe you've gone through something like that. Maybe you will. But at that moment in time, you need to trust God. And you need to say, God, I don't understand what's going on, but you do. And I just want to follow you the best way I know how. And he'll answer your prayer, and he'll be close to you. I spoke with Brother Vall yesterday. I don't believe God talks in audible voices today, but I had assurance from God one time when I went through a hard time, and God didn't speak to me audibly, but he may as well have, because I had just the comfort of God, knowing what I needed to do in my life, and knew, and I just needed to be faithful. And he'll do the same in your life, I guarantee it. Many of you know Brother David Cloud. He gave testimony once that he's been trying for 40 years to write a book, and it's entitled People Who've Trusted in God, and He Let Them Down. And he hasn't been able to write the first line of that book. God will never let you down. You will never go wrong trusting God. And I can give testimony to that, and Israel could have given testimony to that had they gone past that bitter water and said, I may be thirsty. I may not know why I'm here at this mirage, at this what looks like an oasis, and it's just bitter water, but I know God knows best. We need to have hope. I know of someone recently who asked somebody else for counsel with their marriage, and the person who was counseling them told me, well, you know, they had a rough marriage. And the person counseling told them, well, this is as good as it's going to get. You know, marriage is terrible sometimes. And I thought, that's terrible advice. That is terrible advice. That is not the Christian life. This is, you know, we can't say, well, this is as good as it gets. You know, this is par for the course. You know, there are things we're going to deal with. There are things we're going to deal with, but we can have joy in Christ. The Bible tells us that we can have an abundant life, that living waters can flow from us. That doesn't sound too depressing to me. That doesn't mean we won't go through hard times, but we can have joy through it. Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was on the other side, and we can go through tough times. There's one thing you have in common in the world, the Bible tells us. You're going to go through hard times, they're going to go through hard times. There's a difference, though. We have victory on the other side of that. And we can know that God has paved the way for us to have all the tools we need to live a right life and do right. We don't have to live in depression and thinking that we're missing out on something. We have so much more that the world has. God's offered us so much more. If Israel would have drunk that water, It's not something that they would have gotten used to. You know, sometimes people think, do you guys know what it means when a Baptist preacher takes off his watch? Doesn't mean anything. But, you know, if Israel would have drunk the water, it wouldn't have just gotten sweeter on its own. You know, sometimes people think that if I just taste a bit of sin and taste a bit of the world, I'm going to be okay. Yeah, it's not like a vaccine. Bitter water is hard things. The world and the devil and our flesh will not lead us right. And it's not something we can just get used to and say, you know, I can handle this. Other people may not handle this, but I can. That's a criteria. You want to know today if you're a rebel? I'll give you one characteristic of a rebel. It won't happen to me. If you think that way, that's a rebellious attitude right there. If you think it's happened to other people, I can get away with it, that's a rebellious attitude right there. That's what rebels say. And so we need to be mindful. If we have warnings of the Bible, if there's something I know I ought not touch, then I ought not touch it. And I ought to trust God and the Bible. So if they would have just drank that bitter water when they got at Marah, that it wouldn't have gotten better for them. It would have gotten worse. So continuing sin does not eventually get better. Wrong needs to be settled. The Bible talks about repentance. That's right for salvation. It's right for a believer too. If there's something in our life as a lost person that's keeping us from the Lord, we need to turn from that and turn to Christ. If as a believer we're dabbling in sin or holding on to something we ought not hold on to, we need to let go of that and turn to Jesus Christ. That's the Christian walk. So, you know, and that's the other thing. Sometimes things look fine from a distance. I don't know how bad that water looked like from a distance. I'm guessing it probably looked pretty good. There are some things that look awfully ugly when you get close to them. And sin is similar. So we need to keep away from the world, the flesh, and the devil. Here's another bit of insight or a bit of help for us. Israel, it wasn't that long before this that they had left Egypt. I mean, that would be impressive for me if I'd walked through a sea. I don't know what they went through. I mean, that'd be pretty. I don't know if they tiptoed around starfish. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what that looked like. That'd be pretty. I would remember that. That would be. I wish I would have. They didn't have iPhones or digital cameras back then, but I would have been snapping pictures if I had one. That'd be great, right? But it wasn't long after that incredible victory where they got discouraged. So you can mark it in your Christian life. You have a time of victory, and I'm not saying this to depress anybody, but you have a time of victory in your life, guaranteed you're going to have a time of trial. And that's not to scare anybody. That's to say our life in a Christian is a life of battles. Israel was promised the victory. They battled and battled and battled, and they were promised victory if they would be faithful to God. We're promised victory in our life if we'll be faithful to God. And so by the same token, we can know there is going to be a battle in our life. Maybe you're going through one now, but you already have been promised the victory. So don't be discouraged if you go through tough times. You'd still be going through them if you were in the world, but you have God helping you. You have the promise of God, promises of God. We have a tendency to forget the good things in our life. If we have a bunch of good things happen to us and a bunch of bad things, we reflect on the bad. If we have one bitter person, I can speak from experience, just having a miserable person on the job site, they just put a cloud on everything else and they make everything miserable. So we have a tendency, just natural, to look on the negative things in life and forget what good things God's doing. I remember when we had first surrendered, some of you who heard a bit of my testimony, we surrendered to be in Fort McMurray, to be in a church there. And we were there for almost 11 years, around 11 years. And when we made, that was a good decision. And God honored that. And we grew there and we learned some things there. You know, after that decision, we had some hard things happen. We had some difficult things happen. We had some toxic relationships to deal with, and it was hard, but we knew we were doing God's will the best way we knew how, so we just stayed faithful. And I could have easily, and I'm so grateful. It's so important to be married to a good person. It's so important. If you're married, you need to praise the Lord, because there were times where I was discouraged, my wife wasn't. There was times where she was discouraged, and I wasn't, and I just praise the Lord for giving us that kind of grace together. And so we need to be mindful that when, and God will give us the grace regardless, single, married, whatever our situation, God will give us grace. We have a promise of God to deal with the situations. He won't put us through more than we can handle. I went through some difficulties. They were difficult for me anyway. And you know what? We just tried to be faithful. We need to ask ourselves when we go through tough time, am I going through this suffering because God wants to smooth some rough edges in my life? Or am I going through hard times because I'm being hard about something? Because I'm harboring some sin or some lust in my heart? Why am I going through this? And if that's not the case, we just need to trust God that he knows a bit better than I do what's best for us. The psalmist said in 139 verses 23 and 4, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You know, if we pray that prayer, God will answer it. Maybe you've been in preaching before, and I didn't know what this was years ago, but maybe you're in preaching and God brings somebody to mind all of a sudden. Maybe you're in prayer and God brings something to mind all of a sudden. Something you need to deal with. Oftentimes that's the Lord doing that. You're out in public and you see somebody and you know they need to know the Lord. And you're struggling with giving a tract out or bringing up the Lord to them. You know, that's not the devil tempting you to witness. So we need to be mindful that if God is bringing something to mind during preaching, during prayer time, we need to be sensitive to that. We need to ask the Lord to search us, and he will. And he may touch something close to us. You know, people need water. How many have been without water for 3 days? That'd be hard, wouldn't it? Israel was that way. And God may touch something near and dear to your heart that you need, or you think you need. And he just may be pulling you and testing you and stretching you a little bit, just to make you a little bit stronger, to help you. So the other thing is, they were wholly reliant on God. There was nothing Moses could have done. There was no, you can buy those chlorine tablets if you're out in the bush for water. There wasn't anything they could do in and of their own strength. But they had to trust and turn to God. And another thing we need to be mindful of, we read the whole passage. Those bitter waters don't last for long. And that's the other powerful thing about hope. If you have hard things that you're going through in your life, praise God, you won't go through them forever. And you need to know that. And you need to know that the hard things in your life aren't lasting, but the good things are. And so they needed to know that they may be in a bitter situation, but it'll go by. That's why hope is important. Just believing God at his word, believing that, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I can't see what's going to happen, but I know you know what's going to happen. And you're holding me, and you're taking care of me, and you're guiding me and protecting me. We need to have that hope. John chapter, we need to know that we have consolation. John chapter 7 verse 38 says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Notice that belief comes first, and then the living waters come afterwards. Our faith needs to come first, and then we'll see fruit and results of that afterwards. We need to be people of faith. We need to be people who trust God and know that if we can trust without understanding the situation around us, God will meet our needs. God will take care of us. I think one of the reasons that believers sometimes live in mediocrity is not because God hasn't given them blessings, it's because they haven't received them. I also think the reason some people haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ is not because they haven't been offered the gospel, but many just have heard it and not received it. And a believer often can live in mediocrity if he's not receiving what God has for them. Can I give you a little bit of advice when you go through hard times that I can say has helped me? If you're ever going through hard times and you're not understanding, take some time alone with the Lord and just go through the book of Psalms and just pray them out loud to the Lord until the Lord pricks your heart and says, that's where you're at right now. I believe that book can be your friend. I believe that book can go through all the emotions that you may go through. I look at David sometimes and I think, God, you say to God, why have you forsaken me? You say, why have you forgotten me? And I think, God, that's kind of rude. Like, how can I say that to God? God doesn't want us to be a hypocrite. If we're feeling hurt, our business is not to tell everybody else about it. Our business is to tell God. And you know, God can help us, and God will help you. A lot of the Psalms are prayers, and they're meant to be prayers. So we need to be close to God and just have a real relationship with God and knows whatever you've been through, our Lord knows it. and he knows how to help it. So the Bible also talks about another tree. So we see a tree making those waters sweet in Marah. We see another tree in the scripture that made some bitter things sweet. And the consolation of the cross, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, tells us about my Lord. And it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So the Lord Jesus Christ knew full well. Anybody, some people think that the Lord Jesus Christ, nobody in a good church would think this, but some people think that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't know he was coming to the cross. He knew, it was foreordained, the Bible says, before the foundation of the earth. Jesus Christ always knew he was coming to the cross, and he looked, before he was born on earth, he could look down from heaven and say, there's sinful souls there, and they're hopeless without me, and they're going to mock me, and they're going to beat me, and they're going to ridicule me, and I'm going to offer them the only truth that can help them, and they're going to reject me, and pluck up my beard, and beat me, and crucify me. And I want to do that, because it's the only hope they have. And he counted it joy to do that. That doesn't sound very joyful, but he had joy on the other side of that cross. See, God doesn't often show us what we're going to go through in our life because we're not as good as God is. Maybe if you knew the hard times you were going to go through, you would give up already. But God looked down and said, I'm going to go through hard times, and I look forward to it, and I look forward to what's beyond those hard times. And so we need to be people and understand that oftentimes our little pea brains can't understand what God's trying to do. But if we just trust in him through hard times, we're going to have joy on the other side of those hard times. I know some good people who've gone through hard times, and they're sweet people. If we apply our faith in the cross to the bitternesses and disappointments and distresses of our life, God can make those things sweet. I told you that Trisha and I had some toxic relationships to deal with, and I just praise the Lord. You know, sometimes God teaches you things you don't want to learn, but you're better for it anyway. And I can give testimony to that. And I just thank the Lord for how good he is and how good he can be through hard times and hard situations. Speaking about things I didn't want to learn, I used to work with a fair bit of heat trace for a season of my life. And I had friends who had their trailer homes, their sewer lines freeze up on them. I learned a lot of things about sewer lines I didn't want to learn. But God used me in a little way to try and help people and be a blessing to other people. I could tell you down to the minute how long it takes to thaw a 4-inch sewer line at minus 40. And I never would have wanted to learn that. And there are other things in life we may not line up to learn, and they can make us better. Yeah, they can make us better. And so we need to understand that we may go through hard things, and it's for our best oftentimes. You know what? I don't have the verse before me, but some of the hard things you may go through in your life may be for somebody else's sake. Are you too good to do that? Jesus wasn't. Some of the hard things you may go through may not even be for your best. It could be so you could bless somebody else. And it blessed my heart. It blesses my heart to appreciate meeting Alan at the university. I really did. Because he was vulnerable and he opened up. We need to be just the same way. Can I give you some testimony about my pastor? How I really appreciate him. Brother Vall, I'm sure, has been hurt before. That happens when you deal with people. My pastor's been hurt. And he and I were hurt by the same person. And I talked to that person afterwards, just trying to be a friend to him. And they told me that our pastor had personally given that, after being hurt, he'd given those people a lot of money personally. This is not public information. And after I found out about that, I said, I would never do that. You guys don't deserve that. You know, sometimes God can use you to bless someone else even when you're hurt.
And I hope one day to be that kind of person where I can love somebody even when they hurt me. And God wants the same for you. It wasn't too good for Jesus to do, and it's not too good for you to do. So remember, as you're visiting with someone, we're trying to talk to them about their eternal souls, and they may have a rough facade. It's okay for you to be vulnerable too. It's okay for you to be a giver and tell them a little bit about yourself and expose yourself. That's what we're expecting lost people to do when we witness to them, isn't it? Well, can you not be a little vulnerable yourself? Our Lord did it. And we should be, our God is good. We can go, I talk about those things that were hard at the time, and that's why sometimes the tears come out. But I don't have any regrets about following God and trying to be close to God. God is good. You will never regret serving God. So heaven was opened by the cross of Jesus Christ. And so there was nothing that could have been done by us to be received by God, to avoid an eternity in hell. But God made a way. And God showed Moses a way through that tree as well, about how to make those bitter waters sweet. So if we take Christ by faith, he can take the bitter situations of our life and turn them into sweet waters. Maybe our pride is keeping us, or keeping even some people from trusting God. We ought not be proud people. We ought to be broken people and be prepared to ask the Lord to help us in tough situations and understand, God, I can't do this and I need you, and ask him for help. And you know what? He will help. Life is hopeless without him. We are doomed to live with bitterness and disappointments and heartaches without Christ. But by taking him by faith, he can take those bitter things and make them sweet. What the world has offered you has let you down. What you've tasted from the world, if it hasn't let you down, it will. But Jesus won't. Don't trust any bitter thing the world is offering you. Trust God. He always satisfied. And this is one thing I really love about the Bible. God doesn't sugarcoat the realities of life. He tells us about the hard times. That's the reason we know this Bible is inspired. I remember witnessing to the Muslim man for quite some time. And one issue he really has is the men that I look up to, David, Abraham, the Bible records them as men who had sin and needed Christ. Muslims have an issue with that because they believe works save. And they believe our Bible is corrupted. I'll tell you something. Every single religion in this world that's not Bible faith is false because it teaches man's all right. He just needs to do a little better and shine his shoes a little shinier and dress up a little better and be a little nicer, and he'll make it to heaven and impress God. Where God looks down at us and says, you're a mess. You're undone. Sin is ugly. It's not that we weren't good enough and we just need a spit shine. We're ugly. The Bible talks about Jesus said in his own testimony in the Psalms, I'm a worm and no man. We can't even say that about ourselves. We're worse than worms in God's eyes. So when we accept Christ, we have a good deal. Because we're offering garbage and he's giving us gold. God's good. And so that's the difference between every single faith in the world except faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we don't have a sugar-coated religion. There are some ugly things in this Bible. And I, don't get me wrong, this Bible is beautiful and I love it. But there are some things it'll teach you about yourself you won't like. Guarantee it. There are some things you'll learn about yourself and be exposed to. You'll say, you know, I don't like the feeling of this. I don't appreciate this. And you know what? God is just trying to smooth off those rough edges and just make it a little bit more golden and a little bit smoother and a little bit more precious. So I love the Bible for that, and I know it's true because no other book is like that. They sugarcoat man's situation. So we have the victory. We know that all men need water. Here's another thing. Here's some encouragement. Israel ended in Elim shortly after being in Mara. They had water and shade in abundance in Elim. Elim was 6 miles away from Mara. Mara was where the bitter waters were, and according to that, that's half a day's journey. They had 70 wells, and they had 12 wells of water. Think they should have had faith? think they should have had a little bit of trust that, you know, God didn't bring me out here to kill me or ruin me. I've got some good water just over there. I don't have any idea why I'm around this bitter water right now, but God's going to take care of me. And he would have. I live in a place called Winkler, and in Winkler, the highest point in Winkler is the speed bump in the Walmart parking lot. It is flat. It is flat as this pulpit. It is as flat as that floor. I can see for 6 miles from Winkler. You can't see for 6 miles here in Kamloops, I don't think. But those people, just 6 miles from their trial, was where they had a place of rest, where they had some refreshment. So we need to know that oftentimes we get discouraged and God has some encouragement for us just around the corner. We can't see it. Maybe in Winkler you can see 6 miles away. You can't see 6 miles away here. But God, in the same way, we need to trust him and know that there's some refreshment just up ahead. And this is another thing. They didn't stay in Elim forever. They kept marching. God had some other plans for them and some bigger things for them. And we need to know that that's our life as well. I guess I'll ask you here in closing, have others disappointed you? There's some situations in your life that you don't think you should go through. You don't know why you're going through them. I guess first off, I'd ask you to check your heart. Is there sin in your heart? Every time we go through hard times, it doesn't mean there's sin in our heart. If there is, God will show you. And you may just be going through things because God says, I need to make them get them to grow up a little bit more. We look at our kids and we see them get bumps and bruises while they start learning to walk or ride their bike. And we're okay with that. We understand that's part of growing up. Christians, that's part of growing up. We're going to get a few bumps and bruises. And we just need to trust God and all that. Doesn't mean he hates us. It means he wants us to grow up a little bit. Has somebody else's failure caused you to quit? Now, I understand one of the biggest reasons. If you want an excuse to not serve God, you can come up with one pretty easy. But I know some people have given up on God, and they say their excuse is hypocrisy. You know what? We all are going to stand up before the Lord on our own. There'll be nobody with us. It'll just be us and God. And so has somebody else's failure caused you to quit? Maybe God would allow that to be used in your life and just go beyond that. We're not going to stand before a hypocrite on Judgment Day. We're going to stand before a righteous, almighty God. We can't let others discourage us, even when it hurts. There won't be anybody else to hide behind. There'll be no one else to blame. We'll stand alone before God after we die. Do you have any unfulfilled expectations? Do you think the Lord maybe, this may be a hard thing to say, but maybe do you feel that God owes you something? There's something other people have that you don't have. There's something you think you were entitled to. I know those are ugly things to say, but and we may not like to look at it that way, but are there some things that you expected to have in your life you don't have, and maybe you're holding out on God because of it? God has a special plan for you, and we have to understand God may be withholding something from you because he knows, you know what, my son, my daughter, you don't need it. Or saying, you know, you needed this hard reality of life to turn to me and ask me to save you. And that's a good thing. Let me share in closing here that prayer is the answer to every bitter experience in your life. Prayer is the answer to every bitter experience in your life. In my presentation there's a lot of, Uruguay has some hopeless people, some people who really feel hopeless. Christ is their answer. Prayer is the answer to every bitter experience in our life. We need Christ. We need the Lord. When Moses was murmured against, he turned to God. And we need to do the same when bitter situations and people turn against God. A man named Brooks said that murmuring is the mother of all sins. It is an ungrateful mistrust of God. And when we turn to the Lord, he will show us how to get the victory. I really believe that God will show you how to get the victory in your life. It may take some patience, but I believe God will speak to you if you're asking him for answers. He's a good God. He doesn't want you to live in confusion. He will show you exactly what you need to be doing. That's the God we serve. If we look for our situations for relief, our surroundings, we are always going to be disappointed. Had Israel turned to God, they would have saved themselves from disappointments. I'd say in closing, don't get too attached to this world. We need to be people who are close to Christ. Even Elim was just a stop along the way. God has a great design for our lives, We need to know that and not dwell in fantasies and not dwell in memories. We can't relive them, but we can live a wonderful future that the Lord has for us. Brother, would you like me to pray in closing, or would you like to pray?
Well, thank you for that great message. I have to ask each one of us to ask ourselves, are we going through tough times? Have we approached the bitter waters? Are there trials that we're going through? I liked his question, the Marco's question about, are we too good to be vulnerable to, when helping others? The big question there is, have you drunk of the living waters of Jesus Christ that he offers? That passage there in John that we went to. But the living waters that Jesus Christ offers that flow within us freely. And I love the scripture where in Isaiah where the Bible says that come buy waters with no money. The water, the bread of life. Have you tasted of that? Or are you still drinking the water of this world? It is bitter. You know, I understand that you can sometimes develop a tolerance for poison and poisonous water. And cumulatively after a period of time, it can kill you. And this life will kill you if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior. You will die and go to hell. If you've never repented of being a sinner, you've never put your complete trust in what Jesus did when he died on the cross for your sins. Have you tasted of that free water, that life-giving water? You think of Christ at the Samaritan well, and he tells that lady, Samaria, you know, he says, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me for water to drink. And she says, well, you don't even have a bucket. And then he explains and that you'll never thirst again. And she says, well, give me some of that. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Ask Brother Kuiper to come at this time. We'll sing a song in closing. If you've never trusted Christ and you want to do that today and taste of the waters of life, I'd encourage you to come forward and do that. If you're a Christian, you've already tasted those waters, but you've approached the bitter waters and maybe you've allowed it to make you bitter. Circumstances, trials that God has allowed into your life. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's a difficult relationship. Whatever the case might be, are you realizing that maybe that you are handling it wrong and that you need to walk away from those bitter waters?
Let's turn to hymn number 202. We'll stand and we sing In Times Like These. 202.
Thank you for that great message you've brought to us through your word, through your preacher. Lord, we pray that you would help us to gain from this, and Lord, that we would be very careful when we come to the bitter waters, that we would not allow difficult situations to make us bitter, but Lord, that we would go through it realizing that you are in control, that you are sovereign. You know what is best for us. You only allow us to do what you want us to do, to go through with what tribulations you want us to go through, you give us the grace. You will not give us more than we can handle. Your word promises us that. Lord, I pray that each one of us here, Lord, would know whether or not we've, first of all, trusted you as our Savior, trusted Jesus Christ for the salvation of our sins, repented of being a sinner, and that we've drunk of the living water, which is not bitter, which will not cause any sickness, will not cause death, but Lord, will bring everlasting life. Lord, for the believers, Lord, we pray that you help each one of us to, Lord, to have the strength to go through trials and tribulations. Lord, help us not to become bitter Christians. We pray that you would strengthen us, Lord, that you would allow these tribulations to work patience, experience, hope that maketh not ashamed, Romans chapter 5. Lord, I pray that you be our time of fellowship now, Lord, that you would draw us close to each other. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope you're able to stay for the meal to follow. And I understand we've got some specimens from the Tonqua Lake fishing derby from yesterday. So I encourage you to stay if you're able to.